So I think we'll make a start. Just for the purpose of the webcast, it's Wednesday, the 1st of May, 2019, the Father Heart TV live webcast. So this is the second part of the series on the Father's Comfort, which I started last week. And just before we get into this part, let me just do a recap of some of the things I talked about. If you weren't able to listen to that, the video and audios are online and you can get those easily. But just a brief recap, we started off looking at comfort and how important comfort is, but it's something we tend to ignore and something we don't talk about very often. We looked at what Solomon said about being uncomforted, you know, and how desperate that is, and what a tragic sort of lifestyle it is when we go through life without receiving comfort. And then I talked about how important it is for us to receive comfort when we've suffered trauma, and how trauma can just be that heavy weight inside of our heart. How important it is to receive comfort when we've been through grief or mourning, and how the Father just embraces us in his arms when we're going through those really difficult times and difficult seasons. And then we ended up last week just talking about the need to receive comfort, you know, in those times when we make mistakes and we get it wrong. And like David, we have to come to that place of repentance and seeking forgiveness. And it's in those moments that the Father will come alongside us and just pour his comforting love into our hearts. And so that's kind of where we ended up last week. And really just want to sort of take it on this week to show how important comfort is in bringing our hearts home and bringing our hearts to that place of true contentment. You see, Jesus, throughout the gospel stories and through the life of Jesus, we don't read very much about the occasions when Jesus talked about comfort specifically, but we see it implicitly throughout his life. You know, just think for a moment. The disciples were a really disparate group of people. You know, they came from all different backgrounds. They were ordinary guys. They'd probably suffered a lot at the hands of the Romans and the Pharisees. And, you know, they really, in a sense, they weren't a natural group of people to put together. You know, you've got Matthew, the tax collector, who worked for the Romans. And you've got Simon, the zealot, who hated the Romans. And, you know, Jesus takes these guys and he puts them together in a group and he works with them for 3 years. And, you know, at the end of the 3 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, these guys become the foundation of the early church. So throughout that 3 year period when he was with these guys, he must have comforted them, you know, because he must have got alongside them and talked to them about the importance of comfort and how much their hearts needed to be comforted, you know, because these people were not natural friends. They were not natural part of the same group, but Jesus puts them together. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, you know, that was a very comforting thing to do. He meets their physical need and provides food for them at the end of the day. And, you know, that's a very comforting act. It was a great miracle, of course, but it met the people's daily needs. You know, when Jesus was rowing across the disciples were rowing across the lake and Jesus was asleep. You know, when the storm blows up and the disciples are fearful, you know, frightened for their life, they wake Jesus up and he just speaks those words, "Peace, be still." You know, and he's speaking to the storm, of course, but I think he's actually speaking to the disciples' hearts as well. And in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of their anxiety, he brings them to a place of peace as well as the storm. See, those words must have just been so comforting to the disciples in that situation. What I find is very interesting is when Jesus was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth, we read that in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 30, he actually moved to a village called Capernaum, and he made that his base, his hometown. And the word Capernaum means village of comfort. And I just think that's really interesting that Jesus made his home in the place of comfort, the village of comfort. And in John chapter 14, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's preparing them for his return, you know, him going back to the Father, and he's preparing them for what things are going to be like afterwards. And he says to them, you know, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's John 14, verse 18. But some of the other translations, they say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And Jesus then says, you know, I'm going back to my Father, but I'm going to send another comforter. And the very use of the word another really does imply that Jesus was a comforter himself. But he says, you know, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you in that state of desperation. You know, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, who is another comforter, and he will be with you forever, and he will remind you of all the things, you know, that I've been teaching about, that I've said. And so Jesus leaves us another comforter. And that's really important for us to understand, because comfort is within our reach. You know, it's not like we don't have to go searching for it and seeking for it. It's not hidden. But Jesus has said, I've given you my Spirit, and my Spirit is in your spirit, you know, your heart. And therefore, inside of us, we have the very resource, if you like, that enables us to receive comfort. We have the Holy Spirit. We're going to go on and see how it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to cry, Abba. You know, Father, it's the Holy Spirit that grounds us into our sonship. And, you know, as the Holy Spirit is this other comforter that's been sent by Jesus, it's a comforted heart that is empowered and enabled to go, Abba. You know, it's when our heart is comforted that we can really understand and begin to live in the sonship that is our inheritance. You know, we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us that is, you know, is the other comforter that Jesus has sent, so that we can go on receiving and go on living in this amazing comfort. You see, comfort, as we will see in a few moments, is not just for our past hurts, but comfort is something. Comfort is an expression of love that we can take daily, we can receive daily, and, you know, gradually allow a reservoir of comfort to grow in our hearts, so that we live from a place of being comforted, rather than always trying to play catch up and receive comfort for our past hurts or pains or wounds. Comfort, I really believe, comfort establishes us in our sonship. It's a hallmark of Jesus's life, and it will become a hallmark of our lives as we become rooted and grounded, rooted and established in love. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says this. He says, May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, may he comfort and strengthen our hearts in every good work and word. You see, Paul is praying there that we would go on receiving comfort in order that our hearts may be strengthened. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, I don't know about you, but I do. I look at my own heart and it feels very weak. It feels unable to cope. It feels like it's not got the resources that I need to face daily challenges and daily life. But yet, Paul's praying here that we would receive this gift of comfort, this comforting love that would strengthen us. And, you know, it's as we are comforted, and as we're going to see in a few moments, it's as we're comforted that our heart grows stronger. And so we've been given this other comforter. You know, Jesus says, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not abandoning you in this desperate state, but I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. And, you know, we have the Holy Spirit living in our heart to strengthen us and to just go on continually filling us with this amazing, comforting love. Paul writes in the beginning of 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's a very well-known passage, and I want to read a few verses just to put it in context, but it's probably verses we all know. But I really believe that Paul has written these verses out of his own experiences of going through trials and persecutions and, you know, near-death experiences. And he's able to write these words out of his own experiences because he has been comforted through all of that persecution, all of that difficulty. He has received the comfort that he writes about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you are sharers of our sufferings, and so also you are sharers of our comfort. You know, we can't get away from it. You know, as much as we might like to get away from it, as much as we would want to get away from it, we can't get away from the fact that comfort and suffering, they do go together. And, you know, Paul is saying that it's out of our suffering, it's out of his suffering that he received comfort. It's out of our suffering that we too can receive comfort. And, you know, I hope you're beginning to hear that little whisper in your heart that is nudging you and saying it really is possible to live a comforted life. Because Paul is saying that our Father is the Father of all comfort, and he comforts us in all our trouble, you know, so that we can then comfort those who are going through times of trouble themselves. But, you know, it's out of the season of suffering that we find that place of comfort. And I don't know, you know, all of your stories. I don't know what you're going through, but if you are going through a difficult season, if you feel like you're going through that season of suffering, then just tuck into the everlasting arms of the Father and allow him to be the Father of all comfort and allow him to comfort your heart. See, this comfort is not a reward for good service. It's not a prize. It's a free gift. It's not something we earn. It's not something that's rationed, but it's an abundant free gift for each one of us. And when I was thinking about this, it kind of just struck me. The picture I had was a little bit like the manna that the Israelites received when they were in the desert for 40 years. You know, every day they received the provision they needed. Every day they received manna from heaven. You know, in Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people shall go out, and they shall gather a day's portion every day.'" You see, I believe just in the same way as God the Father provided for his people by raining manna down on them, he wants us to receive the rain of his comfort. You know, I believe his comforting love, it rains down on us, and we can receive it daily. We can receive the comfort we need for today, and tomorrow we can receive the comfort we need for tomorrow. You see, the Israelites, although it was a daily provision, although it was, you know, every day they got what they needed, they had to do something in order to make it their own. You know, if they'd have sat in the doorway of their tent and looked at it and said, "Oh, that's nice manna. Oh, there's my provision for today. There's my manna," you know. But if they didn't do anything, if they didn't gather it in, if they didn't receive the free gift, that manna would have gone to waste. And, you know, I believe it's the same for us, that the Father is raining, he's pouring his comfort out into our hearts on a daily basis. And all we have to do is receive it. You know, this is a free gift. And all we need to do is just open our hearts and say, "Father, thank you for this beautiful gift that you're giving me today. Thank you that the gift of comfort that you're giving me today is enough. It's all I need for today." And, you know, let's gather this comfort into our hearts. Let's receive the free gift that's being given to us, because that's the, you know, as we do this on a daily basis and as we gather this gift into our hearts, that's the thing that is going to strengthen us and enable us to live from a strong heart, enable us to live out of the reservoir of his comfort in our hearts. See, in Lamentations chapter 3, probably the only verses in Lamentations that most people know, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His compassion never fails. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. You see, it was Jeremiah, wasn't it, who wrote Lamentations. He's saying here, look, the Lord's mercy is new every morning. His loving kindness is new every day. And let's gather this supply of comfort into our heart. You know, in John's first letter, John 1 John 4, 16, he encourages us to know and to rely on the love that God has for us. You see, those words, knowing and relying, they're not words for our mind, but they are experiential words and that we receive in our heart. And John is saying, I want you to experience this love that the Father has for you. I want you to know in your heart that it's reliable, it's dependable. And, you know, we can gather that supply of comfort. We can receive that supply of comfort into our heart. See, as our heart comes home, we begin to discover that what it means to be in Christ is to actually be held in his love, to be held in the experiential love of the Father in all its magnitude. It's the, you know, it's a limitless love. We cannot put limitations or measure it, but we can just live in this ocean of love that is for us. And yeah, this is what is going to comfort our heart. It's going to strengthen our heart, and it's going to bring us to a place of it's going to bring us to a place of total reliance on the Father and dependency on the Father. It's going to take away the self-reliance that we build up in our hearts. And as we are comforted, it's going to bring us to that place where we can really know that God is being a Father to us, because he is the God of all comfort. See, what I want to do now, just for the next few minutes, is to look forward a little bit and see how this comfort, you see, we need to be comforted for the trauma that we've experienced. We need to be comforted for the times of mourning and grief. We need to receive comfort for the deficit. But, you know, I believe as we receive the daily manna of comfort, it will strengthen our heart, and it will equip us and enable us to live as sons and daughters. It will actually bring our heart home. And I want to just look briefly at how comfort brings our heart home, because it really shows me that comfort is not something about playing catch up for the past wounds and the past hurts, but comfort is the reservoir of life that we live out of. See, in its simplest form, our inheritance is to be sons and daughters. Our inheritance is to have a free heart. You know, and I know if we look at our own hearts, it's like sometimes we don't feel they're all that free. But that is the longing in the Father's heart, that you and I would live from a free heart, that we would be constantly filled with the spirit of life, and that we would find that place of true contentment. You see, my children don't have to do anything to be part of the family. They're part of the family because they were born into it and they belong. And that's the same for us. You know, we don't have to do anything to belong to the Father's family. We've been born into it. When we're born again, we're born into his family. We belong. You know, and our inheritance is to live as sons and daughters. It's to live in freedom. And when we live a comfort-filled life, that will enable us to live in the fullness of this inheritance. It will release us to become partakers of the glorious freedom of the sons of God. You know, we will find that our lives are built on solid rock rather than on shifting sand. And, you know, that foundation will really, you know, change us. It will change our lives. It will bring a lot more stability into our hearts. And I just want to look at how our hearts come home, because to me this is so important. You know, if you were to read Isaiah chapters 40 to 66, you know, a big chunk of Isaiah, you would see that Isaiah is painting a picture of what it is to be comforted and what it means to live a comfort-filled life. Now, we haven't got time to look at those 26 chapters, and I just want to pick out a few verses from a few chapters. But in Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak kindly to Jerusalem, that her warfare has ended, her iniquity has been removed, and she has received double from the Lord's hand for all her sins." You see, we are greatly comforted. And as we read on in verse 5, we see that following the comforting of God's people, there is a revelation of his glory. In verse 5, it says, once we have been comforted, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, in Exodus chapter 34, Moses asked to see God's glory. And what he actually had as he stood there on the mountain was, he asked to see God's glory, but he had a revelation of the personality and the nature of God the Father. You know, loving, compassionate, slow to anger, faithful. You know, it's all there in Exodus 34. And, you know, that's what Isaiah is saying here, is that once we have been comforted, you know, comfort my people, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, then once you've been comforted, the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it. You see, as we live as his comforted sons and daughters, we will become an expression of his glory to the world, because his comfort will be resting in us, it will be changing us, it will be transforming us, and the world will see it. This is what the world needs to see. The world needs to see that there is an answer for their striving and their desperation, and it's only found as they come to that place of rest in the Father. If we just look on a little bit into Isaiah chapter 51. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 51, we're reminded of our history, where we come from. We're Abraham's children, as Paul reminds us in Galatians 3 and 4, not only, you know, are we Abraham's children, but we're heirs to all of the promises given to Abraham. And Isaiah just reminds people of that at the beginning of chapter 51. But in verse 3 of chapter 51, Isaiah writes this: "Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of melody." See, what comfort does is, when we are comforted, the barren waste places of our heart are transformed into a beautiful garden, where instead of sadness and sorrow, there is joy and gladness. And, you know, sometimes I think we look at our own hearts and we don't have much hope. You know, we feel like, what hope is there for me? But we're given hope here by Isaiah, that he says, yes, the Lord is going to comfort you. And that as you are comforted, that broken, barren, desert place of your heart, it really, really will be transformed. That's verse 3 of chapter 51. But in verse 11 of the same chapter, Isaiah writes this: "And so the redeemed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. Everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." See, when we are comforted, when our heart is transformed and the broken, barren places are transformed into this beautiful place of freedom and liberty, we come home. "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy will be on their heads." When we are comforted, a comforted heart, a comfort brings our heart home. And, you know, we see that so clearly, don't we, in the story in Luke 15 of the lost son, where he comes home and the father throws his arms around him, welcomes him home and says, "Son, I don't care what you've done, but you belong. Welcome home." And he wraps him in that garment, the best coat, the best cloak, the best robe. And we read in Colossians that we can be clothed in love, that You know, what the father is doing to that boy is he's clothing him in love. And as he does so, he brings him home. And it's so important for us to understand this in our heart, that as the Father comforts us and as he pours his comforting love into our heart, he brings us home. All of the searching, all of the striving falls away. All of the loneliness, all of the rejection falls away. And we know we're home. We know we belong. We know we found that place of contentment. And whatever our journey, whatever our history has been, we all need a homecoming. You know, this is not just a one-off event, but it's something we experience at a deeper level as we're drawn into the ocean of the Father's love. Many of you, I know, will be able to say, you know, there was a moment in time when your heart came home. You know, maybe a significant one-off event where you knew the Father poured his love into your heart. And that's a precious moment. But I really believe that that should be just the first of many times that our heart is brought home at a deeper level. You know, I've heard a couple of years ago, God say to me, you know, Mark, I want to bring you, you know, your heart needs a deeper homecoming, is what he said, a deeper homecoming. And, you know, I knew he was saying that he wanted to bring me to a new place where more of my heart came home. And I really do believe that that's what he wants to do for us, is he wants to bring us home. We've seen it in Isaiah 51. We actually see it again in Isaiah 35, where he says a highway will be there. It will be the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him that walks that way. And then it says the redeemed will walk there. The ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful singing to Zion, with joy. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. See, this is the promise for us, that as we are comforted, our heart goes through an incredible transformation. It really will. The comfort and renewal of the Father's love will bring us home. I just can't stress this strongly enough, because, you know, so often I think we stop. We receive comfort for our pain and our past hurts. We receive comfort for the grief and the trauma and the mourning. And we stop there. But if we go on receiving, even if you don't feel you need it, go on receiving comfort. Because the more you do, the more it will strengthen your heart, the more it will transform your heart. And then you will discover that you've been brought home. You see, our homecoming is not to scoop us out of and away from disaster. You know, it's not a rescue plan for those who are sinking. But our homecoming is to enable us to be at peace in the midst of the storm. That whatever is going on around us, we know that our heart can be at peace. And so I want to encourage you to pursue your homecoming. You know, if you know that your heart has come home already, then ask the Father if there is a deeper homecoming that you need to experience. You know, just keep your heart open to daily receive that strengthening, comforting love that truly will bring your heart home. And, you know, if you feel like you've had an encounter with the Father and his love, ask him for another one. Because, you know, none of us are ever going to get to that stage where we've got it. Because if we do, we've only minimized it to the size of our mind. But there is always more. There's always a deeper expression. There's always a deeper homecoming. And, you know, I really want to encourage you that whatever phase of the journey you're on, wherever you feel like you're at, just say, Father, will you bring me into a deeper homecoming? Will you allow my heart to come home? As our heart comes home, we will discover contentment. See, many people are not content. You know, they're constantly seeking new passions or desires, new possessions or hobbies, new activities or busyness. And those things are not, you know, they're not wrong in themselves, but they're not the things that bring ultimate satisfaction or contentment. See, there's a constant pressure to have or to do, and that pressure will be taken away from us when our heart has been comforted and has become content. Psalm 131 is a beautiful picture of contentment. It's that place of contentment that King David found. And he says, you know, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I don't involve myself in great matters or things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests with its mother. So my soul is like a weaned child within me. See, he's the king. He's got all of the affairs of state to deal with and to worry about. But somehow he's able to put all of that to one side and find that place of stillness and contentment, which he describes that beautiful picture of a weaned child just lying against its mother's breast, content, happy, satisfied. If we are able to be constantly comforted, even when we think we don't need it, it will cause a reservoir or a foundation of comfort to grow in our heart. And that's the thing that will enable us to say like David, that yes, I'm like a weaned child. I'm satisfied. I'm content. You know, it is well with my soul. See, when we live from the overflow of comfort, our heart will become free. You know, and when we have a free heart, we will be too free to fear. See, perfect love casts out all fear. And many of us, you know, many of us have a lot of fear in our hearts, a lot of fear in our lives, which we stress about and we worry about, and it takes a lot of energy. But it's love that drives fear out. And as we allow the Father to comfort us, so that fear will go, and our heart will be free of it. We won't have a fear of failure. We'll become more confident in ourselves because we've become more dependent on him. And, you know, it will set us free to live life to the full in a greater way. See, one of the things I really believe it will do for us, it will actually make us more creative. See, we are made in the image of the great creator. And for many of us, in so many different ways, creativity has been stifled and shut down. And I really believe that as our heart becomes free, as we are comforted, as we find that place of contentment, it will actually release in us a greater level of creativity. I believe also it will release a greater level of anointing, you see. Because as sons and daughters, we are anointed. You know, Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Now, we know that's a prophetic passage about Jesus. But if we are in Christ, then it's also a prophetic passage about us. And we read that passage in Isaiah 61 and again in Luke. And we think, there's no way I can bring sight to the blind or bind the brokenhearted or proclaim freedom for the captives. But and, you know, we struggle with that. But if we are in Christ, then we too are anointed to bring freedom to the captives, to set the blind, you know, open the eyes of the blind, you know, to proclaim the day of the Lord's favour, to comfort those who mourn. You see, that anointing is on us, and that anointing will be released within us when we truly begin to live as sons and daughters. When our heart is comforted, it will release us into that anointing. See, the anointing is not for servants, it's for sons and daughters. It's for those who have been comforted by the Father's love. And as we are comforted, we will be able to take the good news to the poor. We will be able to bind the brokenhearted. We will be able to set the captives free. We will be able to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. We will be doing what Paul said we would do. we will be comforting other people with the comfort with which we ourselves have received. And I want to encourage you as we finish to go on receiving comfort. Allow that comfort to grow and rise within you and overflow, because as it overflows, what it will overflow as is, it will overflow as your anointing, because our anointing is the flow of his life through us and out of us. See, comfort is much more than the emergency sticking plaster, because if we stick a sticking plaster on, there's going to be a dissatisfaction in our heart. We're not content. But comfort is much, much more than that. It's, yes, it does want to deal with our past pains and hurts, but it wants to fill us up so much that we live out of the abundance and overflow of his comforting love in our hearts. It really, really will set us free to live as sons and daughters. And I just want to finish just by praying. I'm just going to put the music on. And, you know, just as we do, let's just ask the Father to comfort us and pour his comfort into our hearts. Wherever you are at, whatever's going on in your life, you need comfort. Just allow yourself to be comforted. Ask him, you know, maybe over the next few days, ask him to give you that deeper homecoming so that more of your heart can come home. I just put the music on, and then when I finish praying, I'll close the video down and the sound down, but just leave the music on for a few moments so you can just soak for a few minutes. But Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. You are the Father of all mercies. And Father, you want to comfort each one of us right now. And so, Father, I just ask that you would pour your comfort into our hearts. Father, that you would pour so much comfort into our hearts that you not only heal the pain and the wounds, but you build that reservoir of comfort within us. And Father, I pray, I ask, Father, that that comfort would overflow out of us, that it would flow to other people, that they would be comforted with the comfort that we've received. Father, I ask that comfort that you pour into our hearts would bring us home, that each one of us would know that our heart has come home. Father, bring our heart home in a deeper way this evening, that we would have that deeper homecoming where we know that we know that we know that we're rooted and grounded in love. So, Father, I just ask that you would bless my brothers and sisters, that you would set us free to live as sons and daughters out of the abundance and the overflow of your comforting love. Father, thank you for your comfort. Thank you for your love. Father, may your blessing and your favor and your grace rest on each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.